But now, the life of Mary Southern. Have you ever been the victim of good intentions? You know the kind we mean. Impulsive actions committed by someone who meant well. At present, Mary is right in the center of a good intention that backfired. She came to Chicago to persuade Dr. DeRoy, a famous specialist, to aid Phyllis, Max's crippled sister. The doctor refused to see her because he was leaving America and had already booked passage for home. As she left his hotel, she met Cheney, a gambler who was wanted by the law in Sanders. Cheney, although he'd fight before he'd admit it, has a deeply sympathetic nature. He once saved Phyllis's life. When he learned Mary had been unsuccessful in seeing Dr. DeRoy, he decided to take things into his own hands. And so, with the best intentions in the world, he persuaded the doctor to come with him. As soon as they'd gone, the doctor's secretary, Paul Hopper, called the police, and a police car immediately gave chase. Cheney, however, outwitted them for the time being by driving up an alley. But as the doctor warned, it will no doubt be only a question of time before he is captured. In the meantime, Mary is still at Cheney's hideout, waiting and worrying. As we open our story today, Cheney and Dr. DeRoy are just outside the door to Cheney's room. Cheney knocks.
Who is this?
It's I. I mean me, Cheney. Come here.
Oh, Mr. Cheney, I'm so... Is this Dr. DeRoy?
I'm going to get inside. You first, Doc.
Very well.
Mr. Sanders, here's the guy you couldn't reach.
Mr. Cheney, you shouldn't have done this.
You're right. He shouldn't have played this little trick. The police will see to that.
Can't you calm down, Doc? I've been telling you right along I wasn't going to hurt you. I brought you here so this lady could say to you what she has to say. You wouldn't let her before.
Dr. DeRoy, I'm so sorry this happened.
Well, this is all very confusing. Allow me to think for a moment. You are Mrs. Sanders?
Yes.
And get on your old thinking cap, Doc. Remember she called you at the hotel a few hours ago?
Yes. Yes, of course I remember. And you decided to use these barbarous means to speak with me, madame?
Oh, no. I didn't want him to do anything like this.
He's on the up and up, pal. This was my own idea. The copyright's pending.
Now, I'm not interested in whose brilliance conceived this mad abduction. You entered my hotel room and forced me to come with you at the point of a gun.
After all I said about getting into more trouble. Mr. Cheney, why did you do such a thing?
But I didn't pull any rough stuff. Look, I haven't got any gun in my pocket, too. Here's the gun I had.
What? It's just your index finger.
Thank goodness.
Sure, that's all I had in my pocket. I don't like guns. They're dangerous.
It's amazing. It looked exactly like a gun. My secretary was positive it was.
Oh, he's been reading too many detective stories. Now let's get down to business, Doc. Mr. Sanders, tell him about the little lady.
Oh, it's going to be a little difficult to wake things up. Would you mind leaving us alone for a few minutes, Mr. Cheney?
Sure. I'll be right outside the door. Whistle if you want me.
Thank you.
Well, Mrs. Sanders?
I don't know where to begin, Doctor. Mr. Cheney meant to help me when he brought you here, but I realize all this has put you in a rather bad frame of mind.
Well, you're quite right. I would appreciate it if you began by explaining everything.
It's all so frightfully mixed up. I came to Chicago this evening to ask you to see my sister-in-law before you left America.
And my secretary told you it was impossible because I was leaving in the morning.
That's right.
Now, how did this man, this Mr. Cheney, become involved?
I ran into him as I left the hotel. He knows Phyllis. You see, he was in Sanders when she had her baby. He helped the doctor by applying for some serum that she needed to save her life.
And he decided to help her again? Is that it?
Yes. You knew I hadn't been successful in seeing you, so he brought us together the only way he knew how.
I think I'm beginning to understand.
Can you forgive what's happened? I know I've started off all wrong, but I want to tell you about Phyllis.
My dear young woman, I know what you're going to say. You've said it before. You want me to go to some little town and see this girl, and I cannot.
But you must, Phyllis. She's so young to spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair. I know Doctor says he can't do anything for her, but you've had so much experience with cases similar to hers, and what's most important, she's built up such confidence in you. But
I'm going to leave America tomorrow.
Couldn't you stay a few days longer, even one day? Just long enough to examine her and perhaps prescribe some kind of treatment. At least give her a little hope, Doctor.
I should like to do what you ask for the girl's sake and also to please my good friend, Mr. Barton, but I've made all arrangements to go home. My boat sails tomorrow night.
You can't go before Mr. Phillips. I won't let you go.
But, Mrs. Sanders...
Doctor, this girl is part of your work. How do you even dare refuse to help her?
You know the circumstances. I would prefer that we did not discuss it further.
You must discuss it further, Dr. Giroux. Your skill as a physician, the skill Phyllis needs so badly, doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the men and women whose tragic sufferings can be relieved by this wonderful gift that we place in your hands.
There are other doctors besides myself, Mrs. Sanders. I'm sure there are any number who could take care of this.
I realize that, but you as a doctor know how completely a sick person can put all his faith and belief in one man. That's what Phyllis has done.
My dear, I've said how sorry I am, and you're only making it more difficult.
I'm trying to make you see that if you don't do this, every fortune travel away from this girl will be a thorn in your side. You'll never be able to forget that one person might have been alive and happy if you'd stayed. Dr. DeRoy, will you please reconsider and come with me?
Well, Mrs. Sanders, I
got to beat it, Mrs. Sanders. The cops are on the way up here now.
What?
A doctor, take care of Mary. Don't let the police take her. And what's more, do like she says to that little lady, or I'll come back and get you for sure.
What?
Oh,
what? Say?
Doctor, are you safe?
Why, certainly, Paul.
Well, where's this kidnapper you're telling me about?
Kidnapper?
Yes, Doctor, where did he go?
I don't believe I understand.
What do you mean you don't understand? Why, this man, Doctor, this man who forced his way into our rooms.
But no one forced their way into our rooms.
You've made a mistake.
Say, what is this, your idea of April Fool?
Oh, but no, the man came to our hotel.
You left with him, Doctor. Yes, that's very true. A man did stop by with a message from this lady. Isn't that correct, Mrs. Sanders?
What? Yes, it is.
Well, was this a gangster who came and got you?
A gangster? I don't believe so. Mrs. Sanders, your messenger wasn't a gangster or a kidnapper, was he?
Well, no, Doctor, he wasn't.
Mm-hmm. But, Doctor, this sounds darn funny to me. You're sorry, too, lady. How come you're in this neck of the woods?
I just happened to be spending the day in Chicago. I have business here.
Well, this is a pretty bum section of town to have any business in.
Doctor, please explain. I can't understand this attitude.
Neither can I. But I'm going to. I want to know why your secretary thought something was happening to you, Doctor.
Oh, Paul, you've been reading too many of these American detective stories. Did you really believe I was in danger?
But of course, you seem terribly upset.
Well, perhaps I was a little tired and irritable.
Well, I'm getting that way myself.
Oh, I'm so sorry, officer. You'll have to forgive my secretary. He comes from abroad, and he's been simply fascinated by all your so-called gangster moving pictures and stories of kidnapping and rides. He was evidently excited and misunderstood the man's message.
Yeah? Well, what about that wild ride you took? You led us a good chase.
Why, I didn't realize there was anything wrong in our scheme.
Do you think you can drive around town 70 miles an hour?
Well, this was an emergency, officer. I'm a doctor, and I know in my country we're allowed to exceed the speed limit when it's urgent.
Well, you can't hear it, too. Doctors have to get places in a hurry.
Exactly. You see, Mrs. Sanders has just told me about a case that needs my immediate attention. As a matter of fact, we were about to leave when you came in.
Oh.
Don't you think we'd better go now, Mary? We don't want to miss our train for Sanders and keep that little girl waiting any longer.
Thank you, Dr. DeRoy. You handled the situation perfectly. Of course, we felt a little sorry for your secretary, but it was the only possible way to avoid unpleasant complications. Mary must feel very happy because of your decision, and you can be sure we do, too. Did your toothbrush show a faint tinge of pink when you brushed your teeth this morning? Well, that was a warning signal. Pink toothbrush. And you better see your dentist about that right away and follow his advice. It is a sign that your gums may be getting flabby and unhealthy. But the chances are your dentist will tell you nothing serious is the matter yet. He'll explain that your gums tend to become soft and unhealthy from lack of exercise due to the soft foods we eat these days. He'll probably say, what your gums need is more exercise. And he may add, use Itama toothpaste with massage twice a day. Here's all you do. After brushing your teeth with Itama, put a little extra Itama on brush your fingertip and massage your gums. So when you massage them with Itama, you give them more exercise with this toothpaste specially designed for massage. And so, you help make them firmer and healthier. And firm, healthy gums are the very basis of bright teeth and the smile that men admire. Get an economical tube of Itama toothpaste from your druggist today. Well, Mary is returning to Sanders with Dr. DeRoy. And so, it seems that Phyllis is to have her chance at last. But what about Cheney? He wanted a chance, too. A chance to go straight. We wonder when this tender-hearted hoodlum will again appear and what new part he will play in the life of Mary Sutherland.